In an endeavor to prove that radio is not blind, we present, after a successful season at Rowton House, another program in the series which, by careful planning, meticulous writing, and superb presentation, has managed to avoid winning the radio award. Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, and Spike Milligan in...
The Moon Show!
Good evening. My name is Dudley Prynne, contemporary armchair detective. Tonight, from my casebook, I'd like to tell you the story gone out of a crime that shook England. Here to tell you more is the man who remembers it all.
Thank you, Dudley. I'm not the man who remembers it all, so I'll step down.
Thank you.
Thank you. Every now and again, there occurs a crime that makes us sit up. For some time now, the goons have had access to Scotland Yard's secret files, thanks to an arrangement with the police known as Dropsy, known in the Americas as Graft.
From these confidential files comes a story of a crime that no Sunday newspaper would dare to print. The story of the dreaded piano clubber.
It was such a winter's night as this when I, Lance Constable Ned Seagorn of Long Division, London River Police, was patrolling the river. I'll be glad when we get a launch, Sergeant.
Yes. It is a bit chilly, I admit, swimming. Still, we must guard our great river, the Thames.
Yes. We better walk up the embankment and get dry before we go in again.
Splendid idea, Jim. Splendid idea.
Oh, what was that type noise?
It sounded like a piano.
Make a note.
Too late, he's already made them.
Oh. No ad-libbing, please. What's that?
Quick! It came from over there.
Quick, after over there.
Body in the gutter.
Oh, indeed.
Quick, Sergeant. Take down these notes and description.
Right.
Description. 5'2".
5'10".
Short, tubby.
Short, tubby.
Wearing blue trousers and jacket. Good looking.
Right.
That takes care of me. Now! The body.
Anybody
wearing city suit. Yes. Bowler hat and bowler trousers. Yes. Carrying ear trumpet, side whiskers, bald... Six. Mail.
Search his pocket, Jim.
Right. Ah. £5.5.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Not a word of the inspector. Oh, he wants some.
The crook.
Here's a birth certificate in his hip pocket. Dad, according to this, his hip pocket's 130 years old. So this might not be murder after all. This man might have died from natural causes.
Oh, I don't think he's died from either, Jim.
Why not?
He's getting up, Jim.
Have you got all that down?
Every word, Jim.
Splendid. Easy, old man.
Where am I?
England, sir.
England? There'll always be an England. As long as England.
Thank you. Yes, yes. Thank you very much. Yes.
I didn't hear the rest of the words.
Anybody? Now, what happened, sir?
I fainted.
Fainted when?
Just after a man struck me down with a piano.
Struck? With a piano?
Yes.
What fiendish ingenuity. Did you get the number of the instrument?
No, he had his lights out. But I can describe the man.
Good. Take this down.
Right, sir.
He was wearing trousers.
Cut them down?
No, it's too chilly.
A shirt, a tie, a jacket, a hat, socks, and one pair of shoes.
One
pair. Splendid. With that description, if ever he enters a nudist colony, he's a goner.
You were a goner in the last war, weren't you, Jim?
Yes.
Anything else about the piano club you noticed?
Yes, he was carrying a piano and this recording of Max Gerdau.
I see.
The second time the dreaded piano clubber struck. In the months to come, he struck 28 times. Each time he struck his victim with a piano. Each time he crept up on his victim from behind. And each time his victim was Henry Crumb. Public opinion demanded a public inquiry. Order, please. Order. Now, the inquiry will now be conducted regarding the activities of an unknown assailant, the dreaded piano clubber. First witness.
My name is Captain Bluebottle. Stop! Thank you, friends of Bluebottle. Now, friend uncle.
Silence, silence. Stop that singing and I'll stop playing this guitar. Now.
I hear you.
Do you mind? Now, give your evidence.
Right then, on the night of the attack, I was walking down Bonger's Lane when suddenly I stopped.
Why? Why, I said.
I don't know, I must have been tired. My little titches were steaming after certain rock and roll dances, you see.
Mm-hmm. And when you stopped, you saw then the victim, Mr. Crun, was laying in the gutter, yes?
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
And escaping over a wall was a man carrying a wooden type piano.
But, Mr. Bluebottle, didn't you request the man with the piano to stop?
No, because he wasn't playing it.
Right, sit down. Next, please.
Sit down next, please.
Next witness, William Slit from USA.
Oh, William Slit. Oh, William
Slit.
Raise your right leg and say after me, I swear.
Oh, I swear.
I also
you
drink.
You lousy, rotten stink.
I also drink and smoke.
I also drink and smoke.
Take the stand now. Now, you have come a long way to give evidence.
All the way from New Orleans. The fare cost me every penny I had, mate.
New Orleans is 234,560 miles away, and we appreciate you making this long journey. Now, on the night of the crime, where were you?
I was in New Orleans, 234,567 miles away.
Next witness, please.
Call Minnie Bannister.
Minister, Spinister, Spinister.
Madam, what is your association with Mr. Crumb?
Oh. Man and woman.
Are you related?
Yes. I'm his auntie, you know. And he's my nephew.
Oh, it sounds feasible.
Oh, it is.
Now, what are your occupations?
Oh, well, Henry collects foreign stamps, and I knock my knees together.
Gad, what a den of vice.
Knocky, 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 no, I
That's
don't.
That's quite enough, please. Oh. Miss Bannister, after Mr. Crumb was first struck by this piano, did you notice any change in him when he arrived home?
Yes, his hat was jammed over his eyes.
Well, I take it that this was caused by the force of the piano landing on his head.
Oh, yes.
And an
upsurge of head.
Lumps.
Lumps!
Morning.
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 Morning, Your Honor.
And after the morning... Oh, I'm sorry. And morning. After that, did he put anything inside his hat to absorb the shock?
Yes. Me.
I object. I object.
To what do you object, Mr. Crumb?
I object to being struck on the head by a piano.
Objection sustained.
Lumps. Lumps.
Oh.
Hand me the cork.
I'm sorry, madam.
I have said objection sustained. That's quite enough. Not that I find any reason to continue with this inquiry, as the information obtained is of a sketchy nature. We will therefore wait until further attacks have taken place.
I object to further attacks. I object to them.
Mr. Crun, you want us to find the assailant?
Yes, and the piano club.
Then you must let the attacks continue. If we don't find him, he might attack you again.
Very well, sir, but next time I shall vote communist, I tell you.
The attacks continued at the rate of one per week, and the weeks occurred at five per month. But the piano club always managed to escape us. Then he struck Crun in a new and terrible manner.
With the loud pedal down.
Struck by a piano with a loud pedal down. England was horrified. The BBC gave out warnings.
Police are appealing to the public to help track down the dreaded piano clubber. If you are hit by a piano, please don't hush it up. Tell a policeman. Make sure you are never on the streets alone. It is known that he never makes his attacks inside a building. So if, like myself, you work indoors, you are...
The dreaded piano club had struck inside the BBC, struck down an innocent announcer, causing John Snag to do double duties. Special precautions were taken. To soothe the nation, records were played.
Here is the Ray Ellington Quartet. Thank you.
begging pardon.
Yes, the dreaded piano club had struck again. Under pressure, Parliament would assemble to pass new laws.
Yes, gentlemen. You may well debate this matter. The problem is, under the circumstances, what are you saying behind me there?
I
haven't finished it, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I said, the problem is, under the circumstances, does the piano become a lethal weapon? I say yes.
Definitely, Mr. Kerr. Yes. The piano should be categorized as a lethal weapon. Anybody caught hiding a piano on their person should be taken into custody.
Yes, the honorable member suggesting that the people arriving in this country should be searched for hidden pianos.
I am, sir, I am.
You're a heathen,
Monsieur.
Wait a minute! Hey, wait a minute. I think it's all a lot of rubbish from the whole thing. How in heaven's name can a man hide a piano on himself? How can he? Look, anybody who's struck down by the dreadful piano cover must be blind. I tell you, a full-size piano, money.
Is it
not possible to see the man coming towards you with a...
I say, old man, help me lift this piano off the private... Yes, even in Parliament, the dreaded piano clubber had struck. It was suddenly in December, without warning. The violent attacks violently ceased.
He was obviously having the instrument retuned.
The police immediately swooped on every piano tuner in London.
Ah, here's another piano tuner in London, Mr. Crump.
Yes, I wonder if we shall have any luck this time.
Yes. Whoop. Nobody about in the shop. Is there anybody in?
Yes, me.
Who are you?
Mr. Cran, I came in with you.
Splendid! Mr. Cran, it's only you and me.
Good. In any case, whoever works in this dreadful, filthy piano shop must be right off his head.
Yes. I wonder who he is.
Hold on, door. Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
I would not... You want to buy a piano?
I'm looking for a criminal.
Oh, that's one make I haven't got.
Don't be silly. I wouldn't buy a piano in this hovel.
What?
I've kept...
A hovel? My shop a hovel? No, my man. This is a very elegant shop, this. Famous men come here, my man. Famous men. So, here, do you know who comes here?
No.
Monsieur Spall de Groin.
Is he famous?
No, but he comes here.
Frighten him. Tell him who you are.
Yes, good idea.
I got a lot of...
I'm Seagoon from Scotland Yard.
Oh, I'm Mickle from Coney Hatch here. Have a leather potato? I made it myself.
Please.
I grow potatoes all over me.
Yes.
I'm like, put, potato.
Oh, Spud.
Oh.
Look here, you don't understand. I'm looking for a person who has been committing crimes against the British public by using a piano with force.
Oh, in it for that will. Oh, that's what it sounded like to me.
I must warn you that this is a case of ipso facto corum carborundum filio.
Oh. What do all them words mean, then?
I don't know, but they make me sound intelligent. In any case, they fool you.
Oh, yeah, well, you needn't abuse such long words. Small words fool me just the same.
Mr. Eccles, you said this is a piano shop.
This is a piano shop. Plunk, 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 plunk. Oh,
thank you. Now, explain that notice in your window. The one that says, for sale, African elephants, house trained.
You just got through that, didn't you?
Yes.
African elephant house trained. Oh, wait, I don't stock anything like that. I never have.
But listen, supposing people saw that notice, come in here and ask for an elephant. What happens then?
Well, I just say I'm sorry, sir. I haven't got one.
But that's mad.
I know, but civility costs nothing, I see.
I give way to your superior ignorance.
Good luck.
Do you mind
if we inspect your pianos?
Go ahead. It shouldn't take long.
Why not?
I haven't got any. Oh, wait, wait. Oh, yes, sir. I've got this one here.
Ah, that's a piano. That's the one. That's the very one that struck me down.
Are you positive?
Yes, the dent in the back fits me perfectly.
Then we've got him. I have a constant watch kept at the shop. As soon as he calls to collect it, it's curtain.
Oh, I don't sell any curtains.
Shut up.
Shut up.
So they waited. One day, two, three, a week, 2 weeks, a fortnight, a month, 2 months, a year, 2 years, three, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, 45 years.
We began to get a nasty feeling that he might not be coming back.
Then one midnight as we watched, a night-shirted figure in curlers ran out of the piano shop shouting,
"Help! What are you? Help!
Steady, steady, boy. Take it easy. Take it easy. Mad Dan, settle down, boy. Now, what's happened?
The piano clubber's piano. It's gone. It was stolen while I was asleep.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I was sleeping on it.
What key were you sleeping in?
I was sleeping in A flat.
Capitalist.
I got the money.
However, the piano clubber can't be far away. The show only lasts another few minutes. Lalkana!
We are here, we are waiting. What is
this? This is no time for witty sallies, Lalkana. Where are you?
Here, sir, here.
Silence when you answer me.
Silence for you especially.
Mr. Lalkaka.
What is it you want?
I want you to head the dreaded piano clubber off. You got your whistle? Right. If he hits you with his piano, give a loud blast and blow your whistle.
Supposing I am getting killed, though.
Then give three blasts and lay in the direction of down. Is that clear?
Now he tells me. All right.
Splendid. To your duty. Wait. Listen. Did you hear that? The piano club is singing a tune. It came from down the street.
While our heroes are seeking out the piano clubber, I'd like to tell you current BBC news. The deputy light controller of overseas home service programs has become engaged to Ethel Kroll. This has caused quite a stir, as Ethel Kroll is married to Fred Ponk, outside broadcast engineer. It promises to be quite an interesting battle of wits. I think that these snippets of news show that the corporation is not without its thrills. We return now to the mundane goon show, who have now sighted the piano clubber.
Oh, I'm glad he finished.
Look, there he is. In an alley.
And get him when he plays again.
Got him! I got him in his sonata in G minor.
After him! Follow the trail!
The trail led them to a lonely Armenian lapis lazuli villa in Piccadilly Circus.
What a performance!
Well done. Well done,
he must be around here somewhere.
I tell you, I don't like the look of it.
Well, stop looking at it then.
Ow! Somebody threw a stone in my head, and it hit me right on the head.
Yes. And there's a piece of paper wrapped around it.
My head?
It's got writing on it.
What's it say?
Sorry, Eccles, I meant to hit Seagull.
Signed the dreaded piano clubber, and it came from the top window.
Hand me my telecoop. Gad, it's Count Peel's Moriarty. Come down, Count, or we'll throw echoes at you.
Oh, no, not that. I'll come down with my hands up.
Echoes, keep him covered.
Oh, I've got a blanket.
Come on, Moriarty.
Don't shoot me. Don't shoot me. I've got a headache.
Explain to us and the listeners the reason you attacked Mr. Crun with the piano.
Well, that was on
the... Allow me to do the talking, Moriarty. I have the teeth.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Who are you?
I'm exactly Gridpipe Finn, his lawyer.
How do you spell it?
Lawyer.
I mean, how do you spell Gridpipe Finn?
S-M-I-T-H.
Why do you spell it like that?
I'm in disguise, you see. Inspector Moriarty attacked Crun for a piece of string.
You risk life imprisonment for a piece of string?
I have to have it. My trousers are coming down.
Lalkaka, take these men away and end the story.
All right.
Take him away. Coming on, Red.
At last, the piano clever and the lock and key.
Let me out! Let me out!
All right, thank you, Wally. Yes, let's
leave it at there for the moment. I have been asked by the BBC governors to explain for the benefit of nervous listeners that the piano clubber is only a fictitious character, so please don't go to bed thinking about him as he is...
Good night, everyone.
That was The Goon Show, a BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Seacombe, and Spike Milligan, with the Radio Quartet and Max Geldray. The orchestra was conducted by Wally Stott, script by Spike Milligan, announcer Wally Speenslade, the program produced by Charles Chilton.